Hello, all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today, I have me a very special guest, Justin Lee Anderson. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. I love talking to you, on posts and stuff on social media. But it got to a point where I was going through my book reviews and stuff, and this summer, and I was just like, I just need something different. And I had bought The Lost War for Audible and Kindle. And I just decided on my trip to Michigan, I was like, I just need something. So I started the Audible and absolutely fell in love with the story like right off the bat. And then it was one of those where, usually I do like try to do like 50-50 or something, but I was just like, whatever chance I got on the trip within like 3 or 4 days, I was like I would do like 30% Audible that day or whatever my reading was, and then I would do the Kindle. So it did not take me very long. I like tore through it. So I'm so happy to have you on today, just to discuss, the story, your characters, and kind of where you're going with this world in general. It was a very interesting one to me. So I really appreciate you coming on and, discussing with us the everything. So I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For sure. I will just kind of get diving in here. I'm curious at what has your writing journey been like really up till this point?
Mad.
I like that.
So I started writing. I started trying to write different things, sort of, my late teens and 20s. I tried to write a very pretentious thing when I was at university that was essentially like some disconnected short stories held together by what was supposed to be a self-aware narrator,
Oh, that's
who
cool.
knew he was the narrator in a book. And I thought that was terribly clever. And I wrote a bunch of it, and then I gave it to my one of my English professors for a comment, and he said, "Well, the only thing I can really say about something like this is keep writing." And so I didn't, because I read into that and was like, okay, so this is weird. And yeah, it was just, I was like, I'm gonna do something really unusual and original. And mostly I think it was just pretentious. I was trying to be T.S. Eliot and
Oh, yeah.
failing.
Been there.
And then I tried to write a comic with a friend of mine who's an artist.
Oh, cool.
And we got so far as putting together a pitch package to send to Vertigo, DC
Oh, cool.
Comics, adult imprint back in the day. And we did, and we got no response whatsoever. And so we abandoned that. So later in my 20s, I started writing what would eventually become Carpe Diem. I just had this notion of an Edinburgh hermit who his living room carpet turns out to be a deciding factor in a bet between God and Satan. And I was
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
oh, that sounds like fun. What can I do with that? That's going to be interesting. And so I started writing, and mostly I was putting together the character. And I wrote about, I don't know, I think I wrote maybe 10, 15, maybe even 20,000 words of it. It was mostly set up. It was mostly world building to begin with, and mostly character building. But I was just really unsure of what to do with it. So I sent it to, I found out who Neil Gaiman's agent was, and I sent it to her. And I
That's cool.
really was just looking for this is all right, keep going, whatever. But she came back and asked me for the whole thing, which of course I
Oh.
hadn't written because I had no
Yeah,
confidence in that it was going to be any good.
yeah.
So I didn't have it to send her, and I was like, oh my God, right, okay. And then she said, well, just send me it when it's finished. And of course, then my life just took so many twists and turns. So first of all, I ended up getting in this screenwriting competition with the BBC, and I did pretty well. I came second. And I suddenly had sort of the BBC were interested in seeing scripts that I had written, so I started
Oh,
focusing
that's
on
cool.
that. My personal life went slightly mad. I got divorced, I got remarried, I moved to France for a while. It just all was a bit bad, but I did finally manage to finish it. And then I started pitching it to agents in probably roundabout, I guess, 2012-ish, I think. Got a lot of polite, it's good, but it's not for us. One thing I got told was the problem with comedy fantasy is that bookshops don't have a comedy fantasy section. They have a Terry Pratchett shelf. which is just a piece of advice I've quoted many times. How accurate it is, I don't know, because the guys like Tom Holton just before managed to make a career out of it. But it did okay. Anyway, it ended up eventually. We moved back to Edinburgh. I published it with a very small publishing company in Newcastle. Nice guys. They just had no budget to work with, but really nice guys. I got on well with them. It did okay. But I ended up, I was spending probably more money on marketing than they were able to. And so in 2018, a friend came to me and said, "Why don't I put some money in and you can do this yourself?" So I did. I got the rights back. I republished it myself. It did well, and we had already picked up a deal for an audiobook at that point with Tantor Media. And then, to my surprise and delight, in 2018, the audiobook won the Audio Award for Humor. We beat Kevin Hart in the final, which I thought was a pretty cool thing to have done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he was up for reading his own autobiography, and he won it with the brilliant Matthew Lloyd Davis, who read
Oh, that's
Carpe
cool.
Diem. And so yeah, we won the Audi Award for Humor, which is back there.
Oh, that's amazing.
And
That's super cool.
so that was, I didn't even know we were entered for it. And so I got the first I knew about it that we were even finalists were when it was on Twitter. And then
Oh,
I found out that we'd won on Twitter. I was like,
wow. That's
wow,
awesome.
okay, that's cool.
That's
So yeah,
super
and
cool.
then yeah, and then about the same time I put Carpe Diem into the SPIFBO, SPFBO competition. And it was out before it was in. It was just one of the, I think it was one of the first books cut. And I was like, oh, well, that didn't come to anything. That's a shame. That was SPIFBO 4, I guess. And then I was writing The Lost War at that time, which was, from a business perspective, probably a terrible decision. My wife kept telling me, no, you should write the sequel to Carpe Diem, write the sequel to Carpe Diem. And I was like, yeah, but I've got this other idea for this completely different book that is nothing like the book I've written that is actually gone quite well and sold. I think somewhere about, like, we've sold like 25, 26,000 copies of that, I think, now. So it's done okay for what is essentially a self-published book. I'm pretty happy with that. So yeah, we had but I had this idea for this epic fantasy mystery political metaphor set in a country based on my hometown of Edinburgh, using characters we used to role play with, and I just had this whole
Oh, that's
idea of what
cool.
I wanted to do with them. And the ending was the thing. I knew how it was going to end, and so I was really looking forward to writing a story that was going to end the way it ends and work that back through the rest of the story. And as I say, sort of work the political metaphor in there. It was screaming at me to write it, and I couldn't focus on writing something else. So I did. I published that. I put that in for SPFBO again for SPIFBO 6, and it won, and that was amazing. So that was a delight. I did submit that to one agent, who had given me a lot of really nice feedback on Carpe Diem. We exchanged like three emails back and forth when he turned down Carpe Diem, but he said it was, he liked the writing, it just wasn't for him, but he gave me a lot of, useful advice. So I thought, well, I'll sub him with this, otherwise I'll do it myself. And it was similar. He's like, yeah, I really like it, it's good, it's just not, it's not, I don't love it enough that I want to take it on. So fair enough, I'll do it myself. I was going to do that anyway. But yeah, it won SPIFBO. I had no idea that as part of that, Mark Lawrence was going to offer to introduce me to his agent, which he did.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. That's cool.
And his agent liked it and offered to represent me. And then certainly within 6 months, I think, Orbit had signed me to a four-book deal for the whole series. And that what was interesting was I was sitting at that point with The Bitter Crown. I had written a first draft of The Bitter Crown that was like 205,000 words. It was massive, and it was originally meant to be a trilogy. And the second book was originally called The Insurgent King, and it was meant to be a trilogy. And I got to like 205,000 words. I was like, this book's far too long, and I've got so much more still to go. So it was at that point I was like, okay, I got to find a break point here and call this book two, and now we're going to have four books instead of three. And of course, also already at that point, I had done a deal with Podium to do the audiobook for Lost War and the whole series. So that was already out. And then we did the deal with Orbit. Had to negotiate to get the audiobook rights back for Orbit for the rest of the series. And yeah, we went from there. So I had to go back and cut like 40,000 words out of that first draft of The Bitter Crown because it was far too long. But then it only ended up going back up again in edits. So yeah, it ended up like 160, 160, 170,000 or something like that. It was still pretty long. Yeah, and it's been a weird winding journey that I've sort of stumbled my way through, with a massive diversion into script writing for a while, and I still want to get back to that. I still want to. I want to do both, ultimately. I still want to get back to that, but right now I got to finish this series first.
Well, that's really interesting. I just remember like when you won Spiffbo, I was like, okay. And then like because I had first followed you on social media because I think it was that one in particular, like six or whatever. And then I had the book on my list, and then I just got slammed, like absolutely. And it was nuts. And the next thing I know, I like look back at social media, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like these two books are the same. I was like, oh, and then I don't remember who it was, in the community is like, no, like this is what happened. I'm like, okay. 'Cause I was gone on social media for a while at that time. And I was like, okay. I'm like, makes total sense. So it was so funny. Like you were already on my list to read and then you were again. So it was really, really funny. But that's where last summer I was like, oh my God. I was like, Justin's been on my list forever at this point. I was like, and it was nice because I don't know, like Audible did a deal or something, literally on my way to Michigan. And I was like, how could I not get this, the Audible for this book? And I had just started to do both as a dad, and it just helped, right? And then as soon as I got through, I was like, this is so stupid. I was like, I should have read this book so long ago. But I feel that's how it is, right? And I feel like there's a lot that authors and readers can both, from learn from that kind of thing. But it's interesting what you're saying too. I think, just with, your process, and I think a lot, this is a journeyman's podcast, as I like to call it. So I think a lot of people, are in similar circumstances that you have been in, right? So I always think it's good to talk about them because, somebody like me who's absolutely struggling just to go home and have a brain at the end of the day, right? But talking to people like you, right, where I really enjoyed The Lost, where I can only imagine what would happen if, you wrote book two, instead of this book one, because that would have really shortened me out on literally like one of my, I've talked about a couple podcasts so far for this season, like one of my top three like fantasy books of this year. Let alone within the last couple of years. So I can only imagine, right? Like if you had not done that. So I think people in the audience can relate to that, right? When they're struggling to write something, or if they feel they have to write this thing, there's probably a reason, right? And I think, The Lost War is a really good example of those types of reasons because I absolutely, we'll talk about it here in a little bit, but I absolutely love the story and the characters. And it gave me so many cool ideas for like my own stuff, So it's weird that popcorn effect, and I don't know. It's interesting the Terry Pratchett comment though, because there's so many times now where I'm thinking like Dungeon Crawler Carl, or just, other books, right? Where Terry Pratchett, like has inspired so many people I've had on this show in particular, and it's just, and I loved like The Color Magic in particular. I read it at a time where I was like, wasn't able to write very much. I was in like a master's program and stuff, and I was just like hating my life. I had to get recertified for teaching. But it was like it like really got me through, like my first semester at that time. And just being unique and having a particular voice, to me was really cool. But that's also what I enjoyed about, about book one for The Lost War. Was very similar with different things that you did, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But I just thought that that was really interesting, in terms of your journey and stuff. But it was so cool though when when I saw the cover for The Lost War, the second cover, I was just like, yeah. Like, and I, not that I didn't enjoy your first one, but this one in particular, like just like sung to me, just
Oh,
particular
amazing.
things about the genre. Yeah, like my wife's like, you cannot print one more thing to put on the basement wall where, my library is. He goes, not until we move. So I just want you to know, Justin, like That one in particular, so I was like, fine, I'm buying the paperback. So I bought the paperback, the Kindle, and the Audible. And I was
Love to
like,
hear it. Love to hear
yeah.
it.
At some point though, when we move and I get a bigger, office or dungeon library, I'm putting that one up on the wall.
Oh, amazing.
I'm just curious
Jeremy
though.
Wilson. Jeremy Wilson does great art. He does
Oh my
such a good
God,
job, man. His art is so striking.
It just, I remember too though, when, so I was in my favorite bookstore near my mother-in-law's. It's like on the edge of New York State and Vermont. And I remember walking by specifically and they had it on like the end, so it's popping right out at you. And it must have been like, I must have missed the hardcover or something, but that store had the paperback and I just like walked by and I'm like, oh. And she's like, what are you gonna get today? I'm like, I'm getting this book by Justin right here. She's like, you didn't even look. I spent maybe 30 seconds in the store. I'm like, nope, I told myself one this week. I was like, this is the one I'm getting. And I had it out. So it was really interesting. But I'm curious
Amazing.
at like, why fantasy? Like what has drawn you to writing fantasy? And you
Oh.
had some really good humor, I would say too, even though it's, maybe a little bit darker story, than maybe
Thank you.
some other ones I've read. But I thought there were parts where it was D&D humor. So I think it's funny that you talk about
Yeah.
these characters a little bit, where they came from. But I'm just kind of curious that,
Yeah.
why fantasy just in general for you?
I think the real world is really boring. And
Yeah,
so
that's
fantasy is
fair.
an escape
God,
from
I
the
need it, man.
boredom of, I mean,
Yeah.
reality is dull. Reality is bills and, and
Yeah.
working for a living, and anything that can take you away from that and make life more interesting is probably a good idea. I mean, I grew up on comics and superheroes. I got into I think the first book that I read that I would consider fantasy as a kid was The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Oh yeah.
But I also loved the Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Oh
I
yeah.
used to devour those whenever we had the, because I grew up in the States when I was a kid. So when they had the Scholastic book fairs, I would always get a I would get a Choose Your Own Adventure book or a Narnia book, or I was also really into mystery. I was really into Encyclopedia Brown. Loved
That's a
those
good one.
books. So I was really into those, and then I graduated from Encyclopedia Brown to the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. They were great. Loved those. So yeah, those were kind of those are my things, like superheroes, fantasy, mystery. And as I got older, I picked up Spell for Chameleon by Piers Anthony in my school
Oh
library,
yeah.
and I just absolutely adored that. And I tore through so many of the Xanth books as a teenager, and then I got onto his older stuff. I got into Apprentice Adept, and then what's the other one called? Incarnations of Immortality, which I think you might be able to see are still there on the shelf over there,
Oh, nice.
behind my Spiffbo Award, and Bio of a Space Tyrant and Tarot, and I read all that kind of stuff as a teenager, and then I graduated from that to stuff like I started reading some Roger Zelazny.
Oh
I loved the Chronicles of Amber. I borrowed those from a friend's dad as a kid, and I read all of those and loved them. And yeah, alongside that, I was also getting more. I was reading comics. I was getting into stuff like Sandman and Hellblazer,
yeah.
and so yeah, just all I just kind of worked my way through all these sort of genres, and I got really back into fantasy as an adult with Joe Abercrombie. I very much credit The Blade itself with being the thing that got me back to reading like big fantasy books. Because I was reading a lot of stuff. I mean, I read a lot of Neil Gaiman because I loved Sandman, and then I just followed him into to novels. I was reading stuff like Tom Holt, Jasper Ford, the sort of comedy stuff. Again, as you say, there's a bit of comedy element to my stuff. Carpe Diem's a comedy. But yeah, Joe Abercrombie got me into that whole grimdark thing. Was just like, oh yes, this is my people. I found my place. And I just loved it. I thought it was amazing. His character work is just phenomenal. Like I aspire to, I try to learn from how he does characters and characters. Just the way he can introduce a character in one page and you know who that character is. Like they might only be in it for like, one scene, but you still know who that character is. You can picture them, you can feel them. They're a well-rounded person. There's no NPCs in any of Joe Abercrombie's work, and I just find that amazing. So yeah, I love that about his stuff. And it was the same, you know, it was the same with TV. It was like I was in the, you know, I watched Buffy and Angel when they were out, and I watched Firefly. I loved Firefly. It's one of my favorite programs of all time. All that kind of stuff, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, like all my media is very geeky SFFH stuff. And yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just what I love. It's just what I enjoy. And I do think it's largely escapism. But I also think more and more it's because there's some really good high quality stuff in that genre. And it's a real golden age of, you know, media for people my age who grew up on this stuff.
I totally agree because my thing is like, I don't know, like, I don't get me wrong, 80s, 90s, even, right? Like, early 2000s, like the original Dungeons and Dragons movie. Like, I still love that one. Like, I love the new one, like Among Thieves, but the original one I still love too. But I do agree with you. Like, there at the time, I think there were things where I just like I loved fantasy and sci-fi, right? But now that you know, a lot of people are taking, and I would say you did too, taking elements of things that a lot of us have loved about, you know, fantasy for so long, but you're taking them and doing something completely unique with them, which is hard to do, I feel like, you know. And there were so many things that, you know, I think now are very interesting where, you know, I think you can compare a lot of fantasy and sci-fi, you know, like programs, like you said, books or different media, movies, you know, and you know, you can compare them with other genres and say there's really something here, right? I feel like the genres, you know, in the past, it was the interesting things were the that's I think where you know comes down to Joe Abercrombie in particular is a great example, right? It's not just that it's fantasy, right? It's what he's doing with the characters and the story within fantasy. So I agree. I do think that we're in a renaissance, you know, within both genres that are really just like up in the ante, you know, and I think that's really cool. And I totally agree with you there. I've seen that so many times with people where I'm just like, that's how I felt about The Lost, where I'm like, nobody that I was around, my best friend, he was in seeing a friend in Arizona and we were supposed to meet each other in Michigan. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you got, I'm like, I just bought this. I went and bought it for him and then left it at his house. I was like, when you get, I was like, you need to read this book so we can talk about it. Cause I couldn't wait for book club and stuff. So, and he's in that process right now, so we can talk about it. And I bought it for my other friend when I got here because of the two that I talk about fantasy the most with. I was like, you both need to read this so I can like talk about these, you know, these things that Justin did in the story. But that's a cool feeling, you know, as a media consumer, I feel like, you know, is that and that was like Christopher's like Black Tongue Thief. I bought that book for both of my them, those friends too. I was like, I'm like, I am now you're like deciding your guys' reading list, you know, like for the new year,
I've
just
heard
like,
this, but I haven't read Black Tongue Thief yet, but everybody I've heard talk about it has said it's just phenomenal.
And you know, well, it's just so interesting because like you guys did so many cool things. And James Logan's is my other one with the Silver Blood Promise. Like you guys are all in the same genre, using similar tropes, I would say, to a degree, but just did so many unique things where the story and the characters are totally different. And even like if you look, I think at like James's, you know, like use of and I in our interview we talked about like you know his like Scott Lynch, right? Liza Locke Lamora being you know a big you know inspiration for him. And it was just so interesting though, right, to see those parallels, but to see how James did something completely different. So I agree with you. This Renaissance for me, it's just so much fun. We walked into PAX this past weekend on Sunday in Philadelphia. And there's like Magic the Gathering everywhere, Warhammer companies there. I mean, just all the fantasy and sci-fi. We walk in and my wife goes, this is like your version of like Michael Kors purses for me, right? Or whatever. I'm like, or shoes, like Jordans or whatever she likes. I'm like, yes. I'm like, this is my version of that. And it was just so cool, you know, to see just how much the Renaissance has gone, not just for books and media, but to games, you know, board, video, like whatever, you know, card games, like it was just really, really cool. So I agree. It's definitely been a renaissance, but I don't like real life. I'm a teacher. So I, the amount of stuff that I am helping kids deal with is just not fun, you know? So the last thing I want to go home and do, no offense to anybody in the audience, is watch Law and Order. You know, about the only fiction thing I'll do is like Jack Reacher, just because he gets to do some things and protect people in a way that sometimes I'd like to, but I can't
Sure.
legally or safely do, you know. But Dustin Hartley, the Tracker. But other than that, right? And even those are kind of fantastical, right? Because otherwise there's gonna be repercussions for the rest of us doing that. But you know, in terms of genres, like I would much rather go home and watch a fantasy or a sci-fi show, you know, because I just want that escapism, like you were saying. So I think that makes
Yeah.
total sense. But yeah, right there
Yeah.
with you.
I do watch some some non-fantasy, non-sci-fi stuff. It's usually stuff like thrillers or legal stuff or stuff like that. I really enjoyed stuff like I really enjoyed the a lot of, I mean, political stuff, definitely political stuff. Like I love The West Wing, I love The Newsroom. Aaron Sorkin is just, you know, an incredible, incredible writer. And he's the one who always makes me feel better because I know he suffers from imposter syndrome. And I'm like, well, dude, if you can write like that and you've got imposter syndrome, then the rest of us are doing okay. But I love his stuff. And you know, stuff like more recent stuff like The Handmaid's Tale is amazing. The Good Wife and The Good Fight, like anything like that. But legal stuff as well, like even some lighthearted stuff. Like I really like the Netflix version of the Lincoln Lawyer that's out just now. It's like it's pretty chewing gum. It's pretty light, but it's good fun. I enjoy it. It's good
Was
fun.
that you on social media yesterday that posted that? There was a couple of people. I know, like Steve
It was
McHugh.
Steve
Steve
McHugh. It was Steve McHugh, and I
McHugh
was chatting to him about it, and it just made me think about it. I was like, yeah, the Lincoln Lawyer is just like that's like what I if I'm sitting down to have lunch, and I just I'll stick it on while I'm eating lunch, and it's just like, yeah, this is fun, like chewing gum TV. I enjoy it. It's some of it is just ridiculous and just silly, but I do enjoy it. And the Rookie, started out like
Oh, that's a
Rookie's
good
got
one.
Nathan Fillion in it, so of course I'm going
Yeah,
to
I
watch it
love
because it's
it.
got Nathan Fillion in it. But I like The Rookie, but then it got to the point where it just like some of the storylines were just ridiculous, you know. And it's like season one, it was relatively serious, but then it got
I
to the
think with
point where he's
season
doing like
four right now, it's a little crazy.
some of the things like the one that got me was like when they had the two cops playing characters who were like meant to be their spitting image kind of characters, but they were criminals and they were a couple too. And it was just like, this is ridiculous. This is just stupid. Now, why are you doing this? But
Yeah,
yeah,
I
you
couldn't, I
know,
definitely couldn't get it
that's
as a
again,
kid.
that's chewing gum. That's absolute chewing gum.
No, I totally agree. But there are those, but I like that too, though, because but I do agree with you. Like, you know, there are things that, you know, I definitely enjoy. Oh, sorry, give me one sec. I'm just gonna pause recording here real quick.
Yeah, okay.
Let me pause. Perfect. Yeah, but I can totally understand, you know, there's different like the different genres. Like I think like Castle was always like a fun one, you know, and but
Castle's
you know,
great, yeah.
yeah, there's just like so many times, you know, where you know, like I think it's cool, you know, within, you know, like The Lost War in particular, where it's like you were saying, there's some mystery there. You know, I think it's good to, you know, really experience those other writers, right? Within the other genres, you know, to be able to, you know, expand those things. I like the thriller aspect of Reacher, you know, in particular. There's different like Castle, I like the mystery aspects. So yeah, I think it's always great, right? To be able to experience, you know, those other genres, to be able to do something, you know, within the fantasy or sci-fi genre, particularly, you know, like you've done with Lost War, where there were so many, you know, fun moments that weren't what I think people typically think of as fantasy, right? But I think it's important to always think about those. I always love Richard Lee Byers, because he always brought in horror elements, you know, in his fantasy books, and they were just so much more fun that way. And yeah, I think it's always cool, you know, when you can blend different genres together. And you know, I think that's where you get something unique, right? Where you're able to do something fun. And that's like for The Lost World, like you got to like the last like maybe like 8%. I was like, how is Justin gonna do this? And once I figured out how you did it, I was like, God, that was really cool. But it just made it really interesting. So I think, you know, being able to, you know, study those different mediums and, you know, how people do things, you know, just, you know, helps you prepare you, right, to do something, you know, that people enjoy. So I thought that that was really
That's
interesting.
it. Yeah, I wanted to use, you know, what was a familiar setting, but I wanted to tell the kind of story I wanted to tell. You know, I wanted to do, as I say, it's a political metaphor, but also it's a mystery. In fact, I have an elevator pitch for it that tries to squeeze in absolutely everything. So my elevator pitch is that The Lost War is a Scottish epic fantasy mystery conspiracy thriller found family road trip with a D&D vibe and a twist. It's
That's
just a
amazing.
mash of everything that's crammed into there. Without mentioning the politics, in fact. So yeah, I gotta like when I'm talking to people that I think might be interested in the politics, I'm like, oh yeah, and the whole thing's a political metaphor.
It's so funny. My friends asked me, I was like, and then I had to like think about it for a minute because my buddy's like, well, what did you like? I was like, everything. He goes, that's not helpful. And I was like, well, but that's what I went with. I was like, you take like a D&D crew, and put them in a very difficult situation, right? With you're like, oh, we can't go there, we can't go here, but we have to go here. And he totally got what I meant because we had just gotten off the same campaign together because I ran a particular game. So it's so funny to again to see similarities, right? Like you and I must have consumed some sort of media, right? Where you could see that original seed was kind of similar. And he's like, oh, it's like in your campaign. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. I said, Justin did it way better, but I said, yeah, and it's kind of fun and with how it was set up. And he's like, oh, that is interesting. And then we're talking about the mystery aspect, which I thought was really cool. And there's like so many pieces. I finally got to a point after I explained the three main things. I was like, dude, I just know you're gonna enjoy it. It's like we read so many of the same books. And that's what I said to both my buddies. And they were both like, okay, cool. Putting it up on high on the list. I'm like, all right, cool. And then
Nice,
after that,
nice.
that's when I was like, here are your copies. Your homework's due tomorrow,
Excellent.
but that's really cool. Yeah, I can't
Oh,
wait
that's
to.
great. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it really was just it. I mean, it started out as three different ideas, I thought, because I wanted to do something with those characters that were characters that we had role played for a long time. I wanted to do something set in a fantasy world based on Edinburgh's history and some of the etymology of its place names. And I wanted to write this particular political metaphor. I've said this many times, but it was sort of a moment of like, oh, this is one book. I've got these three ideas, but actually they all fit together
That's interesting.
and it works. And then the whole mystery element came in because in order to do what I wanted to do with the metaphor at the end, the only way to tell that story that made sense was to have an element of mystery and conspiracy thriller going through it, because there would be just with things being as you know. So it just kind of all flowed from there. And I'm a big the way that I write as well. I try to write in a way that the characters do a lot of the driving of what's happening, and the character relationships and dynamics are a lot of what's there. Because I believe I've started doing some mentoring and editing for new
Cool.
writers recently with a group called The Write Advice with Stephen Aryan and Anna Stevens. And one
Oh,
thing I
cool.
find myself saying repeatedly to people is that people will come for your plot, but they'll stay for your characters. And I
Yeah.
think that's really important, is if you get your characters right to the point where people want to spend time with them, that's what people keep coming back for. They come back. And what I really enjoyed, the beta readers for book three, The Damned King, the first bits of comment from there's only my wife and two of my close friends who are sort of alpha stroke beta readers for it. But they were all like, oh, it's really nice to spend time with these characters again. And I was like, well, that's amazing. That's the thing that is, pleasing, is, oh, I'm in this world with these characters again. That's nice. And I was like, I love that. I love that I've managed to build something that somebody wants to return to.
Yeah, you're stressing me out a little bit before I get to a part. So I guess I'm not quite there. Maybe I'm still. I think maybe I am just got done with chapter one. I know I got the recap done. So there's some things where I'm like, so that's where my friend he's like, where are you putting the Bitter Crown in 2025? I was like, it's got to be like top two because I was like, it's been a while. It's been like since I think like Labor Day weekend that I finished the Lost War. So I had to like figure out
Okay.
like. Who's where and what's going on. Because I'm a little worried about the characters and just the general direction. And
Wow.
I feel like the story was great, but also like being in their shoes, I'm a little stressed for them to try and figure out how they're going to do X, Y, and Z. I've never been more stressed for a group of characters, I think, this year than them. So yeah, that's where I was like, I
Well,
started the bitter
good.
ground like
At
right
least I did my
away.
job.
Yeah, you
That's
did.
but that's the thing. If you get, you have to make the Again, the threat has to be real. If
Yeah.
everybody's got plot armor and nobody's going to be hurt and everybody's going to make it out alive, then there's no threat. So, the threat has to be real, or else what are you worried about? You know,
Yeah.
I think the show that really kind of taught me that, or that maybe really instilled it in me, was definitely The Walking Dead. Because The
Oh, that's a
Walking
good one.
Dead, especially the early seasons of The Walking Dead, nobody was safe. You
Yeah, I can bet
could
anybody.
Anybody could die in that show at any time. And so anytime there was a threat, you felt the threat. You were worried for them. You were stressed because they could die.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that if you're going to write scenes where you want your reader to feel a sense of tension and be really engaged and on the edge of their seat, there have to be real consequences. They have to know that there could be real consequences, because that's the only way it works.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, Justin. I feel like you're definitely a threat to your characters. I'm like getting through the, but that's what I was like. I was just like flying through. I got to the point because, like, thankfully, we're on vacation. I have my mom to help me babysit and stuff, my son, because, and my wife and stuff she was gone for a couple of days because she had to come back here to New York. I had time off. She didn't for her school. So there was like one night where I was like, I think I busted through the last, like, probably like 15 to 18% in one night. I just couldn't sleep. I tried putting it down at 1:30, couldn't sleep. I had to just like finish the last 10%. So it probably took me like another like 55 minutes or whatever. And so the next day she's like, "You look horrible." I had like four coffees. And yeah, we were like, I was like, "I just need you to like watch my son while I like take a nap." She goes, "What were you doing?" I was like, "I was reading." She's like, "I feel like you're back like being 16 again." I was like, "It was a really good book." So, but yeah, I was stressed, so I had to finish just to know what happens. But it's such a great feeling, right? As an author, to be able to do that for people, and it's great as a reader, to be able to coincide with that journey, that the author was trying to take you on. So I think that is just always the coolest thing about books, or just media in general. I love comics, graphic novels, movies, TV shows. But I always just think that it's such a, that's like teacher and student too. Like, I always love that relationship, right? Where I can trying to do this thing and then they come and we're able to get that done and accomplished, and everybody has a good time along the way. So I always think it's just such a fun time to find a book that you enjoy that much. Particularly with the characters. I do have to say, I came for the plot, which sounded interesting. But as soon as I hit play on that Audible and your first two main characters came in, I mean, I was like hooked after that. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm just listening to Russell Crowe talk, and go on an adventure, as like a Druid type character. And then yeah, I really liked all of them. But I like all the D&D, like anybody that starts with a D&D, like party, like that's just, it's what I know, it's what I love, so even if you just start that way, I think it's going to be a successful time for me. So, but that was really cool. Do you mind just kind of talking just a little bit more, just about just the book overall? I know you had the elevator pitch. Clearly I've read it and everything. But just for our audience, if they haven't had a chance to check the description out, make sure you guys go below, because all of Justin's book and social links will be there, so you can check out the books that we're talking about. And it'll actually take you right to those links. But do you mind just telling our audience, spoiler free, but just a little bit more in depth what the Lost War is about, just so they have that general idea.
Sure. So it's a story set in a, as I say, it's in a sort of pseudo medieval D&D style kingdom based on Edinburgh, my hometown. A lot of the world building is based on the actual etymology of the areas around Edinburgh and place names and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that people
That's
from
cool.
Edinburgh will recognize
Oh, that's
and know that's
cool.
there. Most of the pubs are real pubs.
Oh,
Some of them
that's
are still
awesome.
open. So there's been talk of a pub crawl around Edinburgh to do the Lost War pub crawl,
Oh,
but they're not very close together, so we'd need a minibus to do it with.
awesome.
But yeah, so it's set in this world, and the premise is, so there's just been a war against an evil Draenei, which is the Gaelic word for it's druid, but it also means like wizard, any kind of magic user. There's been a massive war against him that they've just won, and they've imprisoned him within the main castle, Dunedin. And so in the aftermath of that, the king and his envoy, Arranoch, who is also a Draenei, are trying to rebuild the kingdom. And as part of that, Arranoch is sent on a a mission to take an exiled queen of another kingdom from a castle across the country and take her home. He sets off on that journey with his bodyguard and lover Alandria, a soldier by the name of Glorbad, a sailor called Nyria. And then there's also a storyline there involving a monk, a guy called Meristan, and a holy knight of the Order of the White Thorns, a 19-year-old girl called Samelie, who also set out on a similar mission about the same time, and they cross paths. But then as they're on this mission, everywhere they go, everything they see, something just doesn't seem to be quite right, and they start to wonder whether something's going on that they don't know about, and so they're kind of trying to stick to their mission, and they're arguing about their mission. They don't know each other well, so there's some falling out, there's some debate, there's some personality clashes, as they try to figure out what's going on and what they're going to do about it, yeah, so it's the road trip element of this whole found family trying to figure out what the hell's going on when an awful lot doesn't make sense and dead bodies start turning up and you know, different kinds of zombies, and they gotta try and figure out what the hell's going on.
Sorry, I'm just laughing because I'm just like the journey you're about to go on with this book. I loved I just e even you know yeah like even like the beginning with Aradoc, I was just like, oh, I like him so much. Definitely my type of character, but I like the I liked the tropes that you went with. But I also like how you subverted them. You went with what we knew, but you also subverted them a little bit to add uniqueness to it. And you guys just have to read the book to figure out what I'm talking about. But I did like, in terms of like Aranok, right? In terms of, not necessarily placing one type of expectation, right? Particularly for like the magic system, that they use or the, that what they can do. I just thought like that gave you a lot of freedom, to do a lot of really cool things within the series and the world. And you use that to great effect in this book, which is
Thank you.
really awesome. And a lot of people, I think, don't think about how the magic system or how the magic works in a world, how that can help to drive the story. It's great to have cool things, right? But I really can't think of one thing you did that was like a throwaway thing that was like, oh, that was cool. But it was like every time, you threw something out there, you used it to great effect to help further the story later. And that's why I really liked this book in particular, because I think it's really a masterclass in being able to do that in terms of magic, a magic system, magic abilities, and like world building. So I just thought that like you and Shami Stovall both just like do an amazing job of being able to do that. And it's really fun, but also in terms, and you guys have great uses of the magic system, like Aranok being able to do particular things, but I feel like you still followed a lot of like Brandon Sanderson's rules, right? In terms of a magic system, but you found creative ways to, to make it so he can use his spells or, his abilities, whatever, but like there were, it was so cool. I was like, what's Justin gonna do next with his character, or the different people or the different magics, you encounter. So I just thought that was really like really really well done, and I just thought that
Thank
was
you.
really cool. It just felt like it felt like yeah, I know generally right like what a paladin is or magic user or whatever, but then I feel like you did a great job subverting those expectations by doing particular things within your magic system with like I said with the spells or the world building that were really cool, and they weren't just really cool, you end up using them all really intricately. It felt like a watch, right? Like I'm making a a very an older watch like being made with all different gears and
Right.
stuff. And then once you get to the end, you're like, oh, okay, this is here, that's there, and you can like see like those linear type of things that you were doing. But I was like, why didn't I think of that? But I just thought it was like it was really really cool, particularly when you get to the end where you can it felt like you were like crocheting the entire book, and I
Right.
knew
Okay.
like I knew you were making something really cool, but and you showed us pieces, but then not till the end do you really realize how just amazing, of a tapestry, you really wove in that time. So I thought that was really well done. You just don't see a lot of
Thank you.
people doing that in particular. So, but that's why I really like this book. I really like James's The Silverblood Promise. I love Christopher's like Black Tongue Thief. I felt like you guys were all able to do that, but and also like I said, very different ways with different flavors of fantasy, which again goes back to what we're talking about in terms of like a renaissance. But I just thought it was really, really cool. And you did some really interesting things as like from a writer's
Thank
standpoint, not just a reader. And yeah, it was really cool to see. So I'm glad that I was just like scrolling through my Audible. I just finished a book and I'm glad that the cover was there because I was like, oh, I just have to figure out who these characters are. Like it was bugging me. And that just
I see.
goes to show you, audience, right? A cover is a really important thing. And I loved your old one too, which
Oh,
is
yeah, totally.
Which is another thing. Like, I love the old one too. So I had a friend ask, he's like, which one do you like more? I'm like, don't make me choose. I'm like, I them
There's
both for
actually
different
three.
reasons.
There was a
Oh, that's
very
right.
original one before the
Forgot
first
about
one,
that.
which I did really like, and I changed it because what I hadn't thought through when I got it, when I commissioned it, was how it would work as a thumbnail, and it was just too dark.
Oh,
It was too dark as a thumbnail, so it just wasn't ju it was getting lost on the page on the likes of Amazon. You just you know it was it just wasn't it wasn't helping me sell books, and that's why I was like, I gotta go for a bolder cover, which is how we ended up going with what was now the second cover, which was the red one, which was a lot more bold and jumped out a lot more and worked a lot better as a thumbnail. It's the kind of thing you just have to consider as a, as I mean, designers will consider it, and if you're going to be a self-pub author, it's the kind of thing you have to think about is not just what do I want my cover to look like, but what's it going to look like as a thumbnail.
Yeah, we actually did that with my novella. I was like, I don't know if it's gonna show up. So we actually tested it, and my friend who I teach at a tech academy, and so I was like, I'm pretty sure this is gonna work. And then we actually literally just shrunk it down and printed it off. And then we're like, can you read my name, the title, the subtitle, things like that, and end up working and working really well. But yeah, we like. But we purposely, right, like tested it for that reason. So I definitely agree. That's always really important because that is your advertising on there, right? It's like
That's it.
people are going to see
That's
that
it.
and they're going to either go to your blurb or not. But that's again,
Yep.
like also thinking about the physical aspects, right? And that's where like we're replanting my spine with a new logo and things, and seeing both of your books then, just so you know, like, so that same bookstore I went a few weeks ago, and they had obviously from the summertime replaced the Lost War, but then they had the Bitter Crown there. But the side by side, they just look so good together. So I thought that that was really cool. I should, I'll take a picture next time, send it
That's
to you.
evidence right there.
My wife, she goes, so you probably need the physical copy of this too. I was like, yes, I do. So I was like, she knows me too well. But I just thought that was really neat. Just when you posted the cover for book three, I was just like, oh my God. I could only imagine them, like side by side. So I think I'm gonna have to like, we're getting a special shelf where I can just like display some. We're getting those little,
Amazing.
like library display cases. So or the little wire frames and stuff, but I'm excited for
Yeah.
that. But I was so stoked when you showed that on X or whatever. I was like, oh, I was like so excited. So that's where I was like, I'm gonna have to message Justin. I was like, I'll just save a spot for him this season. We'll just try and get him in now. So I was so excited about that. Yeah, I'm really excited
Awesome.
for book two though. Like I said, you stressed me out. Made me a little upset at times, made me feel triumphant at times, at the end of this book one. And you, but the most important thing is I want to say to readers is you maybe not only want to read book two, but maybe need to read book two. Which is, I think, just something different in itself. I had a situation where one of my alpha readers was like, why did you do this? Like, why did you split your story here in your novellas? I said, have you read The Lost War? And they're like, yeah, I read Justin Smith. Like, that's why. And they're like, oh, okay. Because I'm like, you got to get into the Bitter Crown right away. I feel like, to figure out like what's going on. If it wasn't for my job, I would already be done with the Bitter Crown. I got absolutely
Fair enough.
annihilated with work and stuff. But I said, I was like, that's what that's what I want, right? I want somebody to be like, okay, I get done with novella one, I have to pick up novella two, I have to pick up novella three, like right away, right? And I said, that was like the feeling I had like instantly. The Bitter Crown was already out and stuff for Audible and Kindle, by the time I had finished and everything. So, yeah, so I thought that was just really well done because it didn't just want to. Once I got to a certain point, I could breathe again. I was like, okay, like I'm still really stressed for everybody and the situations that they're in, but I felt a little bit better. So, but I thought that was really, really cool. In
Thanks.
terms of your own, like just like musings on, the series so far, like I'm just curious at what has been like your greatest triumph so far? Like what's something you're just like, man, that was really cool. Like, I'm glad I did that.
I mean, pulling off the end of Lost War was pleasing. I remember getting to the point where I had to write those last two chapters. Although initially, it ended a chapter earlier. It ended
Oh.
like, so you didn't get, I don't want to spoil this, but if you think about what the last chapter is, imagine it ended the chapter before that. So it ended on the reveal of what's, it ended on the, this is what's been happening. And my wife was like, I will physically hurt you if you don't write me another chapter so that I know what the hell, so that you can explain to me what just happened. And I was like, okay, that's probably good advice. If that's your feeling, I don't want you feeling getting to the end of the book and feeling like I want to hurt you. But it did mean that I felt like I had pulled that off in a way that I wanted to. And what was interesting was I've had people who've reviewed it and been just like, oh man, this ending just comes out of nowhere. It's completely stupid. And I'm just like, I promise if you go back and read it again, knowing how it ends, you will see all the threads all the way through it
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I
have
wouldn't
been
have said
pointing
that at
to
all. Yeah.
it. Excuse me. So yeah, I'm pleased that I pulled that off, and I'm pleased that it had the reaction from readers that I wanted it to have and that I hoped it would have, because that was really kind of how I envisaged it. And I knew it was a different kind of thing that I was going to do with a sort of traditional fantasy story. I knew I was going to do something different with it and tell a different kind of story. And I was confident I could pull that off. And I had a real vision of how I wanted it to be. And as I say, I think it really worked. But then I think I'm also proud of what I did with Bitter Crown, because my initial vision ended at the end of Lost Wars. Like, I knew that I wanted to set up that world where that was where we were going to be at the end of book one. But I didn't have a clear picture. I had a notion of what I would do next, but I didn't have a clear picture of exactly what I was going to do next. And so when I handed in the Bitter Crown to my editor, I was pretty nervous, because it's a different kind of book, because you can't just do the same thing again. And so and I didn't want to anyway. I didn't want to do the same thing again. Like, I'd done that once. I didn't want to do it again. So then it's a different story. And what was important for me then was that the end of book one means something, and the consequences of the end of book one inform the rest of what happens for the characters, for the plot, for everything. Like, the Bitter Crown is them dealing with the aftermath of the end of the Lost War. So it's a very different book. And, again, like, I had gone from Carpe Diem, a comedy fantasy, to The Lost War, essentially a conspiracy mystery thriller set in a fantasy world. And then suddenly I was writing a very character-based, character-driven drama off the back of that, which is it's another different style of book. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this again. Which I kind of enjoy. I like doing different things. I don't want to just do the same thing over and over again. But I was nervous about it, because it was like, well, I've done this twice where I've written completely different books, and I'm getting away with it. Am I going to get away with it again, writing another different style of book? And my editor loved it. And I was just, it was a relief, and it was pleasing. And then again, same doubts with the Damned King, same doubts handing in the Damned King. I had a crappy first 6 months last year in 2023, where I was just ill constantly, and so it set back everything by like 6 months. And so I ended up handing it in 6 months late. And it was basically a first draft. It was very little more than a first draft. And I was really expecting, like, okay, this needs work, that needs work, this needs work. I know it came back in really good shape, and there wasn't a lot to change. And my editor was really happy with it. And actually, something that pleased me immensely was that there were two comments in a row, like one after the other. Like, I think one chapter after the next, where his only comment just said, "Holy fuck." I was just like, Yes, that's one of the most pleasing things is
Yeah,
that's the reaction you want. You get one and you're like yes, and then you get another one the next chapter and you're like yes,
yeah.
nailed it.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and he's like, oh my God, you did it again. You paid off the promise of book two. You've done it again with the ending. People are going to be gagging for the final book, and I'm just like, that's really, as I said earlier, if somebody like Aaron Sorkin can have, anxiety about whether or not he's a good enough writer, then the rest of us are all just crippled with it. And so every time I finish a book, I think, is this garbage? I don't know. I think it's garbage, but hopefully people who haven't read it might think it's all right. So
Yeah.
it's always a relief. That first hurdle is always like, does my editor like it? My editor likes it. I'm off to a good start.
I feel like that's fair. Well, I have to say, like, I felt like it worked really well. I really enjoyed it. And I did feel that you led had so many breadcrumbs leading up to that. I felt like I was kind of dumb. I was like, I'm a writer. I've read a lot of books. I'm like, I should have been able to track this progress of where we're going here. And but I the fact that I couldn't just made it so fun. So I don't know. I found it more enjoyable because it really made me think differently of how I tell a story, but also the stories I've read. And I'll be honest, you kind of ruined a couple books for me after that, Justin, because I was just like, I needed something, but I did, like, I needed something particular. That's where I went to Black Tongue Thief. And I actually listened to that on the way home. And then, like, I think it was before Labor Day weekend, like right before. And then we started school. Then we had like a quick break. So, went to my mother-in-law's and had another long drive. So it was like I had you back to back. I had him back to back. And then after that, I was just like, it's just kind of hard to read a couple things because I was like, I just don't want same old, same old. I'm like, and you guys have very different. I mean, it's very different books, right? But you guys delivered really well on the story that you guys promised. I feel like, and the uniqueness, starting out. So I just thought like it was just really well done. Just in general, I really enjoyed it. But also made me feel good because I have some things that I am trying to do myself where I'm like, are people ready for this? Like I. Gonna crush people with a series I have in mind, and I'm subverting your expectations completely at a certain point. And I'm like, I've asked a couple friends really privately, like, do you like this kind of thing? So that's also where it is homework for my two friends because I want them to see, because if they didn't like The Lost War, but with that kind of style, like they're not gonna like what I'm about to do. So I just always find it interesting when people do have particular storylines or try things like you tried for The Lost War. But I am really excited for The Bitter Crown because I did really, really enjoy The Lost War. So I'm just really excited to see where The Bitter Crown goes. I'm excited to see where the next book goes. I absolutely love the world. I loved the characters. Like I think that's another thing is it wasn't just story. It was like I couldn't quite find the character depth that I wanted with some other stuff that I was reading. Like after that, and it's just like I actually went into some other media just to, just to get the depth I needed, which I think is like kudos to you. I just didn't feel like anybody was really, kind of like at that level with characterization, and I didn't really feel like the characters were real, but I felt like the characters were real. The Lost War, and I could feel their feelings, and I could feel their pain. So I just think it was kind of hard. Wasn't able to do that. So thankfully, I was able to find the Black Tongue Thief. I was like, oh yeah, I have Christopher's book. And I was like, I'm gonna try it. And I felt like he was able to do that. And you guys just, like I said, you guys do it very differently, but it was interesting to see that type of craft, at the same level, but to do also do something different within the genre. So it was really, really cool. But yeah, I was just curious. I just thought it was an interesting thing to do with The Lost War. And I've known many people, just so you know, within the community that have absolutely enjoyed the ending and, have really enjoyed book two. So I am a little behind from book two in my friend circle. So I'm really trying. That's why I told people, I was like, oh, it's right there. I was like, I'm gonna get it done soon. Might try and get it done ahead of time for the new year because we're driving up to Michigan to see my family, and it's gonna be like probably fairly like 9-10 hour trip. So I'll get half done on the way there, half done on the way back. But I do want to encourage people also, I really enjoyed the Audible for both. I know you have a different narrator, for book two. I know we talked about that on social media or whatever on a post, but I have to say, like, I didn't notice after, like, the first chapter and a half for the Bitter Crown. I just got you just got me right back into the story.
Amazing.
But yeah, I mentioned the audiobooks because, not everybody, is able to have a story, I think, that or a narrative that helps pull them off. But I was able to switch back and forth really easily. And it was very seamless. Sometimes I like the audio more, sometimes I like the actual, book more. But for years, it was just like I was able to go back and forth, which is why I flew through them. So kudos to both, narrators for you on that. But I just want to encourage people. I really enjoyed, the Kindle and the Audible versions for both. So I thought they were really cool. I know we're wrapping up now.
Can I just check that
Perfect.
you did register that the Audible narrator for book two is me?
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't even know that.
I
What?
didn't think you had for the way you were talking about it. It's like, no,
Don't think
yeah,
we
it's
talked
me.
about that. No, I don't think we talked about it on my post. I think you said it was a different you said because I remember you said, and now I get the joke. I keep telling my dad. I was so tired at that time. That's so funny because now I remember the post because you're like, oh, let me know if you like the narrator for book two. So that's hilarious. That's so
Yeah,
funny.
they tried to get they tried to get Ewan Morton again, and I for whatever reason he couldn't do it, and so they sent me some samples to listen to,
Oh, that's interesting.
and I think with any writer, it's difficult to listen to anybody read your book because there will always be an intonation that isn't the way you intended it, a pacing, a timing that isn't quite right. And with all of them, and they were just reading. They were reading from the sample of the recap at the right at the beginning of the book. So they were just reading from the recap of the Lost War. And they were all okay, but with each one of them, I was like, oh, I'd have said that differently. And I did some sort of amateur theater when I was younger, and I've done a couple of corporate voiceover jobs for
Oh,
companies
that's
I've worked
cool.
for. And I was gonna like, I reckon I would be all right at this. And so I kind of pitched it to my editor, and he was like, well, we don't usually do that, but if you want to record a sample and send it in, we'll have a listen to it. So I did. And the next day I got an email back saying, we really loved that and we'd love for you to do it. And I was like,
That's awesome.
amazing. Okay, cool. And I tell you what, I have so much newfound respect for professional voiceover artists because it is hard on your voice. It is hard on your throat to do that. And especially like the voices, the switching back and forth of the voices and everything is just like that is the hard and keeping them straight in your head. And you've got to try and make sure the voices match up as much as possible. And mostly I'm just trying to make sure that they're differentiated enough within the scene that the listener can hear who's talking because that is it's a hard job and it's as I say it's hard on your throat. I had to go and buy like special teas and all kinds of stuff to like start looking after my throat so it didn't just collapse because I was talking so much more than I normally talk. But I enjoyed it in the end. I'm happy with how it came out in the end and the reaction to it's been really nice. So I've been really pleased about it. But yeah, I was amused there where you like I like the two narrators. I was like I don't think you
No,
guys
I think that's so
I don't think
funny.
he's
I
realized.
get That's hilarious. I haven't seen that anywhere either, that was said. So I think that's so funny. That's probably because I just went right to the Audible for right.
Yeah.
I just threw it out. I didn't even like, didn't even usually look at who narrates or whatever. I didn't even do that at that time. My life was just insane. So it's really funny. Well, that's awesome. But it's like I agree with you. Like I had Aaron Moon on like last season. I had Amy Hutchins on. I mean, I watched their TikToks and stuff, and they just switch from their voice to, and even in my interviews with them, they would switch from their voice and then switch to somebody else and then a third one. I'm just like, holy moly. I thought I was good at my Dungeon Master D&D voices, but I was like, that's totally different science and type of acting. So I totally agree with you. I think it's a lot harder than people think. It was like J.R. Wise, I believe, did his own audio, and I absolutely loved it. And I've had other people where I'm like, not so much. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I think it's like if you can do that, I think why not, right? But I just know I'm one of those people where I'm like, I can't do that. I hate the sound of my voice. Like I sound far different to myself than to you guys. So when I hear it play back, it just like it drives me
Well,
nuts. So
that's
to
the
have
thing, because
to edit
you're
or
hearing the
anything.
echo of your own voice inside your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Same
Yeah.
for everybody. Like nobody sounds the way they think they sound.
I remember back in the day, my parents had like an answering machine, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I just would delete my own messages. I was like, I don't want to hear my voice. But that's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's super cool. Well, I'm gonna have to tell my friends because I was recommending both to them. So I know that they'll be into that. That'll be a cool thing. Cause yeah, you don't see it too often. But it's really cool. Well, I won't tell you who I liked more on the
It's okay. You're allowed to like Ewan Moore. He does it for a living. The guy's a professional Broadway actor. He's allowed to win.
But I liked different things that you guys did, if that makes sense, which is why even now for me, if that makes sense. Yeah, so there were some things where I like that he did, but there are some things I like that you did more. So for me, it evened out. And yeah, I've had that before though, with like a book two, between book two and a book three, where I had a friend where I was like so looking forward to the audio, and the narrator for book one and two was much better. And they try to do it for book three themselves. It didn't work out. And they were like, it just doesn't sound good. I got a new narrator. Didn't work. Go back to book four. And it was like the old narrator again. So I didn't really listen to it. I just straight read it. And then when I got to book four, I went back to like my usual routine. So I definitely know it's difficult to do, but that's really cool. Are you doing the third one then, or?
They haven't asked me yet, but my editor thinks there's no reason why they won't. So I'm kind of working on the assumption I probably will.
Oh, that's cool. That's
But
really
it
cool.
hasn't been confirmed yet. But we won't record it until after all the edits are done
Yeah,
and
of
the
course, yeah.
proofreading's done. And that's, we're at the stage where I've done the developmental edits. I'm just waiting on the copy edits coming back now. We're probably looking at like late spring, early summer before it's all completely done and edited and proofread.
It's cool. No, it's just, I think it's interesting because it's like you just never know if, people do have that experience like you, or if they've done something else, and I don't know. I just always think that's interesting. Like that might be something we see more of, that people, ask for that to be on the table or something, different times. I always think that's
There are
interesting. That's
people
how.
who could. Like, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen I don't know if you've ever seen RJ Barker give a live reading. But
Oh.
RJ's live readings are just fantastic. And Anna
Yeah.
Smith Spark as well. She does a great live reading. I mean, the two of them, I think if they wanted to, they could absolutely read their books.
Yeah.
But I also don't necessarily think they're inclined to, frankly.
Yeah. They definitely
But
both, I think, I agree with you. I think they both have the voices for it. So,
oh,
like, hearing
completely.
RJ on Was There Words and Words, I'm like, oh my God. And that's why I kept thinking. It's funny you mentioned that because I'm like, why are you not narrating your own books?
Yeah,
I just thought.
he's a fun he did a workshop with Lucy Hounsome back in Fantasy Con in like 2017 or something on doing live readings.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
I hadn't really done any live readings at that point. And as I say, I'd done some done a bit of theater, but I think both RJ and Lucy had a bit of a theater background. In fact, RJ was in a band for a while. And so they both had sort of stage experience and they just talk through the fact that, and one of the most obvious things is that, just stand up to do the reading, because otherwise you're hunched over and you're sitting there and you're reading downwards and it becomes monotonous and people struggle to pay attention. Stand up, move around, gesture, look at the audience and treat it like a performance. Treat it like you're either giving a speech or you're literally putting on a performance of the book. And that and that's now what I do every time. Like I never sit to do a reading anymore. If I'm doing a reading at an event, I always stand to do it. And
That's interesting.
I feel much better about it. I feel like it goes much better.
I feel like I would have to stand just being a teacher. Like I'm just used to it. I used to teach English and now I'm like
Sure.
kind of, I'm doing like half and half. I'm like co-teaching with my friends. So we like to help each other with both subjects. Because we're just blending stuff together because it's all the same thing after a while. So, but yeah, I'm like when we're going around, I feel like that's like what we do. But I never thought of doing that at a live reading. So that's really interesting. I think that's great advice. Definitely have to pocket that one for later.
Yeah.
put it down the road. Well, this has been awesome, Justin. I just want to make sure we have enough time, in case people are just now joining us, for you to just mention, any of your, current news updates or, current projects, anything like that you can share with us before we get done today.
Yeah, so as we've mentioned, The Damned King is in edits. It will be out in August. I think it's August 19th, if I remember rightly, in 2025. And then I am also I'm currently writing the final book in the series, book four, which will be out in 2026. I don't it's too far ahead to have a date for it yet, but that'll be out in 2026. And that will be man, that will be that series finished, which is just I can't wait for that. That's gonna be, you talk about like having the covers all together. Like I can't imagine seeing those four books on a shelf together and seeing that whole series completed, which will be it'll be mad. It'll be, I started writing The Lost Ward in like 2018, 2017, 2018. And so by 2026, that's 8, 9 years of my life on this series, one way or another. That's insane. It's gonna be something. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that finish. It's gonna be a big deal. And then it's what's next. I do want to get back and revisit the sequel to Carpe Diem. I've been promising that to fans of that book for, nearly 10 years now. So I got to go back and finish that sequel at some point. I've got some really cool ideas of stuff that I also want to write next. They'll probably be a little bit different. Because like I said, I like to do different things. I don't want to do the same thing over and over. So I've got a number of ideas. The most likely one is kind of a, I've got this idea for a kind of, urban fantasy serial killer thing with old gods with a bit of a Tori Amos vibe
Oh,
to it
that's
that I
cool.
think might be the next thing I pitch and see if a publisher's interested in it.
Oh, that's cool.
We'll
That
see
sounds
how that
awesome.
goes.
Yeah, that's like right up my alley. So that sounds amazing. Well, that sounds awesome. I just want to remind our audience again, if you're just joining us, this is your first time, just make sure that you check all of Justin's book and social links down below in the description, anywhere where you're watching this podcast or listening to it. That's always been our biggest push, is to try and get eyes on everybody's products and things like that. Our other push is to make sure everybody's reviewing those products anywhere where you found them. I've already read The Lost War. I've read it on Kindle, Audible. I reviewed them in both spots, made sure my Goodreads was updated as well. So if you guys just make sure you continue to do that for our authors and other creatives, that's really going to be the best thing that helps them. It doesn't matter if Justin's traditionally published or indie published, those reviews are really going to be what really helps everybody in general and helps to make a lot of decisions for people down the road. So if you guys can make sure you're doing that for everybody, again, we really appreciate that, and so would they. Justin, thank you so much for coming on. I absolutely love the book. I can't wait for The Bitter Crown. If it's August 19th for book three, then I guess it'll be on my list twice for 2025. So that's fine.
Awesome.
But it's good to know ahead of time before I was just doing my finals for setting up the first 20 and then the last 20, because it's gonna be a two-part video I released at the beginning of the year. So that's good to know. I'll leave a slot for you for that August 19th spot there.
Thank you.
But that's really awesome. But good luck, on just the process for book three and book four. I look forward to reading the entire series and seeing what you do with it. So I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sticking with The Lost War and getting it out there, and be willing to take a chance on yourself and the story, and the characters, because I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I really appreciate it. I know a lot of people, do as well. But if there's anything I can do in the meantime, you know where to find me, anywhere on social media,
Great.
Facebook, X, things like that. Send me anything, and I'll blast it from the rooftops. We'll get you in here back, a few months from
Great,
now.
thank you.
We'll do this again and get you in for the fall
Awesome.
too, or
Yeah,
I
we'll
got
talk
my
after
next
you've read The
season.
Bitter Crown and see if you still like it as much.
See if I want to talk to you online or come, in person. tell you what I thought. That is really exciting though, because when are we done with the series? Because just saying that those are our plans to come visit at some point. So that's
Okay.
really, really. That's just kind of exciting, because I'll have to bring them with a carry-on or something to get signed, and have to come see or something. But yeah, that's like when hopefully by then, my son will be ready to travel that far and stuff. But that's been
Okay.
our plan so far, is Edinburgh, and to head around. I'm actually 46% Irish. My mom and dad are going this spring to my cousin's wedding over there. I think it's in
Okay.
Dublin. But yeah, I'm excited. We're gonna maybe go to one of the bigger shows or something like that, and then kind of stick around for a little bit. But that's exciting, because I'll just bring the books with me
Amazing.
and find you. So
Yeah,
it's
great.
really cool. Awesome, Justin. Well, you have a great rest of the evening, and I will
Thank you very
email you.
much.
Other than that, I'll talk to you soon, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon on social media, my friend. But on that, thank you so much, and
Amazing.
hope you have a good rest of the day, okay?
Thank you. Take care. Cheers.
See you, Justin. Have a good one.
Bye.